Quick, close your eyes. What's the first thing you picture when someone says the best person for the job? Got it? Welcome to Frax Biz Unpacked, the show where we go beneath business buzzwords and challenge the status quo. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into the meritocratic ideal of that seductive promise that jobs go to whoever deserves them most. But is it really that simple? Here's our roadmap. First, we'll decode meritocracy. Then unpack how neurodiversity shakes up the equation. And finally, we'll confront the hidden biases lurking beneath supposedly objective hiring. We'll use two key terms: cognitive fit, that's how well someone's thinking style matches a role, like puzzle pieces, and efficiency, which in business often means maximizing output. But what if our puzzle only accepts a certain kind of piece? Now, you might be thinking, wait, isn't meritocracy fair by definition? But let's break that down with some real-world stories and a few uncomfortable questions. Ready? Let's jump in. The term meritocracy sounds almost utopian, right? A system where talent, effort, and achievement open doors. But let's rewind. Where did this ideal even come from? In the 1950s, sociologist Michael Young coined meritocracy as a warning, not a blueprint. Imagine a race where everyone starts at the same line. But does anyone ever truly have the same starting blocks? If you've ever been told, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, maybe you've felt the pressure. But hidden variables like socioeconomic status and inherited networks often tilt the field before the whistle even blows. We toss around technical terms like objectivity, the idea of judging without bias, but let's be real, even the measuring stick is designed by someone. And credentials, sometimes more of a gatekeeping badge than proof of ability. So is meritocracy as clean as we think? Or are we seduced by a myth that doesn't survive contact with reality? Here's the catch. Who decides what the best even means? Let me tell you a story. A tech company searching for its next coder. They use a whiteboard test. Rapid-fire logic puzzles under time pressure. Now, someone with lightning recall might ace it. But what about a methodical thinker who builds elegant, error-free systems at their own pace? In this scenario, efficiency, our business goal standard, gets narrowly defined. We talk about cultural fit too, which sounds cozy but often masks unconscious bias. Have you ever wondered if your fit is just code for familiarity? Technical term heuristics, mental shortcuts, help hiring managers sift through resumes, but those shortcuts can reinforce sameness. It's like always fishing in the same pond and expecting new species. The conflict here? When we oversimplify what best means, we risk shutting out hidden talent. So, how do we redefine the criteria? Let's shake up the equation. Enter neurodiversity, the recognition that brains work in wonderfully different ways. Think of neurotypical as the default setting, but neurodivergent, including autism, ADHD, dyslexia, brings unique processing strengths. Picture a team meeting. One person sees patterns in chaos, another hyperfocuses, another brings relentless curiosity. This cognitive diversity isn't just feel-good, it's a competitive advantage. But here's the setup. Standard interviews often penalise neurodivergent candidates for social cues or fit. Conflict arises when the very process weeds out exactly the thinkers who could innovate. Two terms. Executive function, think of it as the brain's project manager, and divergent thinking, the mental equivalent of brainstorming fireworks. These aren't always measured by our usual yardsticks. Resolution, when companies value neurodiversity, performance and creativity skyrocket. So, why are so many still stuck on the old model? Let's tackle a classic business dilemma. Is it more efficient to hire people who think alike, or does true efficiency demand difference? Imagine an assembly line optimized for speed. But what if the market suddenly shifts? Now, innovation, the ability to pivot, becomes your lifeline. Here's the conflict. Organizations obsess over productivity, measurable output per hour, but undervalue adaptability, an intangible yet vital resource. Technical terms, process optimization, the art of squeezing out waste and resilience, the business world's shock absorber. Both matter, but only one is usually visible on a resume. So, are we really maximizing efficiency or just maintaining the comfort zone? The most successful teams often juggle both. Let's get uncomfortable. We love to claim hiring is objective, but bias is the water we swim in. Algorithms and human intuition alike inherit past prejudices. Suppose you're building an AI to scan resumes. If past hiring rewarded extroversion or Ivy League degrees, your algorithm will too. Sound familiar? Technical term alert, algorithmic bias when code reflects human flaws, and confirmation bias, the tendency to see what we expect, both creep in, even with the best intentions. Now you might ask, aren't standardized tests fairer? But if those tests were never designed for people with different learning profiles, is fairness even possible? The path forward? Recognizing that objectivity is an aspiration, not a given, and constantly questioning the systems we trust. If we accept that the old definition of meritocracy is flawed, what's next? How do we actually design for true merit? Consider practical changes. Anonymized resume screening, skills-based assessments, and accessible interviews. It's like switching from a single-lane highway to a multi-lane autobahn, more ways to reach your destination. Conflict. These efforts can feel awkward or slow at first. Some may resist, clinging to tradition. But what if the result is a stronger, more adaptable company? Let's revisit technical terms. Universal design building processes to work for everyone, not just the majority, and inclusive leadership, where decision makers value different voices. Resolution? When we expand the definition of the best, everyone benefits. Progress isn't just about who gets hired, but who gets to thrive. So, what did we uncover today? First, meritocracy isn't neutral. It's shaped by hidden biases and outdated systems. Second, neurodiversity challenges us to value a broader range of skills. And third, true efficiency comes from diversity, not uniformity. Your concrete action step. Next time you're involved in hiring or team building, question the criteria. Does it really capture the range of talent out there, or just a narrow slice? Now you might be thinking, can any system really be fair? That's exactly what we'll tackle next episode, when we explore real-world case studies where meritocratic ideals clashed with lived experience. Let's leave you with two last analogies. Meritocracy is a compass, not a map. It points a direction, but you have to choose your path. And neurodiversity is like a software upgrade. It can seem disruptive, but it's the key to unlocking new capabilities. If you found value today, share this episode with someone who still believes best has only one meaning. And stay curious, the future of work is more complex and more promising than ever.